We play and call it work.
Hey there, guys. Quirk here from MiniWarGaming.com, and welcome to this week's Sit and Talk. It's back. For this one, guys, it's going to be me answering the plethora of questions you guys gave me. Next week, it's going to be, I think, Dave. So if you guys have any questions for him, leave a comment in the comment section below. Just put Dave and then your question or comment for him, so that way he knows it's for him. And without further ado, let's get right into it. Now, before actually I do that, I'm going to have one more little interlude there. Because you guys have so many questions, it's been so long since we've done one of these, it's not going to be a half hour free, a half hour in the vault. I'm going to do an hour free and an hour in the vault. So I'm going to be talking for 2 hours straight. But I'm going to set up a timer here so I don't mess that up because, well, I tend to talk a lot and not pay attention to things. Oh, I can already see the comments coming from that one. So here we go, 1 hour. Boop, start. Okay. So, right at the beginning here, we have David M. Jensen. Where is Tau faction focus? I actually don't know, dude. I'm not the Tau player, but to answer your question, there's quite a few faction focuses we haven't gotten around to doing, and I actually want to go ahead and do them. But the thing is, with the current release of GW's new codexes, I guess, it's kind of hard for us to keep up, because what will happen is we're about to go do a faction focus for the Space Marines or one of the chapters, and then out of nowhere we get this new Space Marine book and we have to do the review for that. So that's the excuse I'm going to give you, but no, I don't know where the Tau faction focus is. I would suggest you bug Colin about that, or Matt. You got two options there. Next up we have Accumulatus. You know who you are. Howdy, Quirk. I'm a bit on and off from Mini Wargaming, and I must ask, what happened to War Machine / Hordes? Keep rolling them, snake eyes. Cheers. War Machine and Hordes actually was something that we stopped covering a little while, actually quite a while now. There just wasn't enough interest in it. The thing was, everybody who really kind of watches it on the regular is looking for a very competitive list, very meta-based list, and want to see things being played out very strategically on the tabletop, whereas here we're very casual in the way that we play our game. So I wasn't running things at the time like the Axis tier or the Boulder tier, or seeing, you know, what the newest thing for Scorn is. This is how long it's been since I played. Those are the ones that were the good tiers at the time. Not really running very much like that. It was things like, okay, well, I'm going to bring this random list that I kind of thought of, or I'm going to bring this because it all fits together for the point value. We're going to see how it plays out. Okay, we're going to play a fun little mission here. And one of the big things that I think really kind of deterred a lot of the competitive War Machine viewers is that we didn't use the flat terrain. We used full 3D terrain, and that really threw off a lot of the measurements. It made it more fun if you're playing very casually, but it made trying to measure everything perfectly almost impossible. And I found a lot of the competitive players got really upset with that and actually were emailing me saying, can you please play this competitive list? Can you please show us how to play against this competitive list? Can you play this instead? Can you start showing things like that? And it's just, no, we weren't able to keep up. We weren't really doing the competitive thing, and because of that, a lot of people weren't watching the content. So it just wasn't doing very well, so we stopped covering that. All right. Next up we have Hailwind. Hiya, Quirk. Great to see the Sit and Talks back. How's your day? Straight to the point. When the rest of the faction focuses coming out, are they going to be coming out? Great work with the games that have been posted so far, but a lot are unhappy with the tardiness of the faction focuses. How is the Brimstone Army coming along? What color pattern are you doing them in? Also, who is the lucky person to paint all of them? Smiley face. All right, starting off, how was your day? Well, today I had a very slow start to the day. I just got in and it's like 11:45. I had to go get an oil change in my car. So, you know, that's pretty much how my day started. I had a wonderful breakfast though. That was always good. As for the faction focuses coming out, again, it's just when we get to them, we get to them. I don't think we're going to be getting to very many now. I kind of want to start going through the codexes and doing faction focuses, but at the same time, it's one of those things where if we can find the time to do it, right? Thank you so much for the comment about the games that have been posted so far. And the Brimstone Army, how's it coming along? It's done. It's super done. There we go. They're all up there. They're all done. All done and based. And painted, and happy, and nobody wants to play against them. And I was the unlucky person who had to paint them all. Actually, it only took me about a day and a half to paint them all. I just sprayed them all and wash and dry brush, and they were done. So, next up we have Joe8170. Hey Quirk, as an Orc player, I love big Daka Daka and was wondering what are your thoughts on mech guns? I really want to build a list with 5 mech guns with bubble chuckas and just start throwing them random stat weaponry around the table. Also, what are your thoughts on flash kits being a better option than Ludas? As always, many thanks, Luca. All right, well, for starters, with the bubble chuckas, I think they're absolutely hilarious and I can't wait for the studio to start getting some in. For those of you who don't know how the bubble chucka works, it is, you roll, it has no stat line. It's basically heavy star, strength star, AP star, damage star. And what you do is you roll 4 dice, and then you and your opponent take turns assigning one of the die values to one of those stats. So say, for example, you rolled a 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I'm obviously going to put the 5 to how many shots I get, because I want to throw 5 shots out. So then my opponent's going to go, okay, well, I'm going to put the 2 on the AP value, because I don't really want to have to deal with very much AP. Then I'm going to go, okay, well, then I'm going to put the 5 on my strength, and then my opponent will say, okay, well, the last time I'm going to make the damage. So now you have a weapon that is heavy 5, strength 4, AP minus 2, damage 3, as an example. Like, that's how it works. And they're also run by Grots. So they're firing at force to hit, which is pretty sweet. Absolutely love it. I think it'd be a sweet list to run around. As for the flash kits being better than Ludas, yeah, I'm inclined to agree just because... Oh, I've been ringing Ludas in a couple games now, and they are not performing. They'll get a couple lucky shots in, but they are not performing as well as I think flash kits would. And they also don't have that big shiny shooter thing where on a 6 they get to shoot again, which I think is kind of sweet. It's a 16% chance of happening, but if it does, it's an extra round of shooting. It's the closest target. Doesn't matter. You're still going to shoot them. I think that's awesome. Next up, the only chosen one. More important, where is the Imperial Guard focus? Talk to... Matt. I think Matt's the one you want to talk to about that one. Okay. Eric R. Awesome. I've missed those. Well, I'm glad to bring them back for you. Next up we have Pato. Quirk, do you have any pets? I do. I have a pet snake. It's a red-tailed boa, and her name is Luna. She's almost 2 years old. So, yeah, I have a pet snake. Right. Let's start going through these here. That is a weird one. Here we go. Erlos. Hello, Quirk. Which one would you choose as the centerpiece for a Dark Angel's army? A mighty steed of the Imperial Knights or a big behemoth tank like the Baneblade? Happy Wargaming. Ooh. See, here's the thing. In our local meta, like, I know everybody has these, like, huge centerpieces they want to run. The thing I'm finding more often than not now is that things like knights and baneblades and wraith knights and all these really big things that people place on the board, they are not as good as they used to be back in 7th. They are easily targetable. They get taken down by a couple last cannon shots. They're just gigantic targets. So if I was to choose between the Imperial Knight or the Baneblade, I would probably go with the... For Dark Angel's army, I would say go with the Baneblade. I feel like it was something like everybody has Imperial Knights nowadays, and you don't really see Baneblades as much as you used to. So I would say, yeah, go with the Baneblade. I think that'd be sweet. And on top of that, it's also got crazy amounts of firepower coming out of that thing. So always awesome there. Next up, we got Plague Reaper. Quirk! With what we've seen so far, or at the time of you reading this, what chapter do you like the most out of the new Space Marine Codex, and what is your favorite new unit? Ooh, here we go, we're getting into tactics stuff. All right, well, I'm going to grab my drink while I'm talking here. My new favorite chapter that I like the most is still the Ultramarines, because they're just amazing. Their new Warlord trait, being able to get those command points back, sweet! Oh, the fact that, like, I played a game against Steve, I'm sure you guys have, or Vault members anyway, who've seen it, can agree that it is really good just being able to say, you know what, I need more command points, I'm going to roll these dice and hope that I get some back, and then you get them back, and it's sweet. Oh, that's good. All right. So yeah, I do think Ultramarines got a major buff there. They get +1 leadership across the board, so it's harder to make them fail morale. They can fall back and shoot. That's pretty sweet. Everybody's like, oh, but White Scars can fall back and charge. Yeah, but White Scars, they come across as a very shooty army. Like, all the guns that you can get on those bikes, you want them shooting. You don't want them in close combat. Especially nowadays when you have to deal with all the crazy horde armies and things like that, and the fact that everything can hurt everything. I don't know. As for what is my new favorite unit, the Aggressors. Just the flamethrowing Aggressors are amazing. So that's my new favorite unit. Nate the Big Dog. I got that right for you. There we go. Hey, Quirk, do you ever use your magical rolling ones ability as an opening line when picking up dates? I don't know how that would work. I'm just trying to picture a scenario where that would be, where that would work. Just like, I'm just picturing like a dating profile right now where it's like, traits, has a mohawk, plays games for a living, has an innate ability to roll ones. That's just, yeah. So like, yeah, no, I've never used it as a pickup line. I've told people afterwards, like, because they'll watch these videos here and be like, why are you always screaming on Facebook? I'm like, well, because I roll a lot of ones. All right. Next up we have WBFreak54. Good sir, I was wondering, since I lost my sandal, what your favorite new rule is in 8th edition. Also, since I recently went on vacation, if one were to come here there and play a crazy big game, what is the highest points you would want to play? Once again, you're still my second favorite person after Dave. Oh, thank you. I'm not sure what the lost your sandal part is there, but my new favorite rule in 8th edition, it's not really a rule, it's the fact that everything can hurt everything. It's the new chart for strength versus toughness. I love that. I think that's super, super cool right there. And the biggest game we'd be able to play, if you gave us a bit of like a warning ahead of time, like, hey, I'm bringing a huge army, I want to play this big game, we could probably do 3,500 to probably 4,000 if it was planned out and like you gave us a lot of leeway and we're ready to go. So as soon as you came in, like, we'd have the army and the table set up, you set up your army, and we just get right to it. We'd probably be able to do that in a day, but that would be pushing it. So next up we have Mr. Nishi3F. What's up, Quirk? A few questions. Number one, how are you liking orcs so far in 8th edition? I've always wanted to start an orc army, but I was hoping they'd be brought up to speed this edition in terms of their playability, not getting wrecked every game. If you are an orc player right now or thinking about becoming an orc player, this is the edition to do it. A lot of people who play orcs or play against orcs, the first thing that you ever see is a ton of boys just foot-slugging across the board, just tar-pitting whatever they possibly can. In 8th edition, you've got a ton of boys, you put a pain boy behind them, now they're a 6-up pain boy save. You put a war boss behind them, now they can advance and charge in the same turn. You stick a weird boy next to them and have him cast Warpath on them, getting +3 to the roll because he's within 10 inches of 30 guys. That's pretty sweet. So now you've also got all this stuff happening. And then on top of all that, you throw a knob with a war banner behind them. This is a big point at this point. Turns your regular 6-point boy from a boy with 2 attacks base, 3 from the Slug of Chopra, 4 from being a unit of 20 or more, 5 because of Warpath, five because of Warpath. They are normally weapon skill 3, now they're hitting on 2s because of the knob, and they're strength 4 base, which means unless you are toughness 8, which is like Land Raider stats, you are hurting everything on at least a 5, with a ton of attacks. It's disgusting, it's amazing. I absolutely love orcs, I think they're great, I think they've definitely been brought to speed in this edition, because the game's kind of broken down, in my view of it, too. You kind of got 3 main armies here. You've got your horde armies, like orcs and nids and stuff like that. You've got your gunline armies, like Tau and Imperial Guard and everything else. And then you have your elite armies. And your elite armies is kind of a big one here. This is where you've got your Eldar, your Space Marines, I guess Necrons can kind of be a gunline army, too. But they're Necrons as well, Chaos, stuff like that. It's kind of broken down into these 3. So the thing is, elite armies are really good against gunline armies because they're fast, they can soak up a lot of damage, and they can get into combat and just start wiping out the main things that a gunline army has. Gunline armies are really, really good against horde armies because they can just shoot the entire horde army before it gets across the board. Horde armies are really good against elite armies because even though elite armies can do a lot of damage, they can't take out that many guys, and this many guys will just force you to roll ones for your saves and do just tons and tons of death by 1,000 cuts. So that's kind of the breakdown that I've been telling people about this edition, and so far it seems to hold up, but yeah, if you're an orc player, you are in a happy place right now. Shooting is amazing, melee is amazing, it's so easy to get across the board now with their movement. Even though their movement 5s, they can advance and charge, it's sweet. Plus trucks don't just instantly die anymore, they have 10 wounds, 10! So, yeah, I like them. Number 2, What's the schedule for the Faction Focus series? They seem to be coming out fairly often at first, but we haven't seen one in a while. Can we get some sort of a schedule for these? Also, why not just play those games against each other? Why wouldn't you have to rely on guests to make those videos? The Faction Focus videos were kind of coming out all sporadically. The problem is that, like I've said before, it's hard for us to find the time, especially when we get guests coming in, and that's kind of the reason why we're using guests for our Faction Focuses, because when a guest comes in, it means that I can go and play a game of Orcs so that people can get an Orc game in, and instead of taking up Steve's time where he's not able to play a Space Marine game, he has a guest, so now I'm going to be covering an Orc game with a guest, he's going to be covering a Space Marine game with a guest, and that way we get more videos for those Faction Focuses. So that's why we're kind of relying on guests. So, as for when they're coming out or how often, I don't really have an answer for that, man. I'm sorry. And number three, how long until you guys start that awesome Orc campaign? Been looking forward to that. Thanks. We've started filming it this week. So, yeah, we've started working on that a little bit this week. Next up, we have Jesus Pieces. Okay. Hey, Quark. You spelled my name wrong. I'm having a lot of trouble working out how the new rules for detachments even affect Chaos Space Marine players that want to take Marks of Chaos. Do I need to be more specifically World Eaters Army to take a Mark of Khorne? Also, how does the new Death Guard stuff interact with regular Chaos Undivided lists? Ooh, that is more of a question for Dave, but from my understanding with detachments, it goes by the keywords, right? So as long as you, like your marks and stuff like that, if you're able to take the marks for, actually I have a Chaos book right here? No, hang on. If I have the Chaos book, I can answer your question. Let me see. Is that a Chaos book? That is not, but this one is. Ha! Okay. Let's find out and answer this question. So, World Eaters. This is where I'm just going to look at this really quickly to take eight. Well, I lost the page. All right. So, by the look of it, it's Mark of Chaos. Oh, okay. So, it's doing kind of the cult thing there. In that case, I would have to say, yeah, detachments are a little weird. So, detachments-wise, you can pretty much take whatever you want as long as they share the same keyword. So, for example, the similar keyword that I'm seeing here is Chaos. So, as long as everything in the detachment has the Chaos keyword, you're fine, you can take them. How they interact with each other, that's a little bit different because I have a feeling it's going to have certain buffs that say, like, this buff only works for Mark of Khorne, this buff only works for Mark of Tzeentch and stuff like that. I know that's how it works when you look at things like the Dark Ritual, I believe that's what it's called, the summoning ability, Demonic Ritual. So in order to use Demonic Ritual, you need to have to bring demons in. You have to have a certain mark on the board in order to bring that kind of demon in. So if you want to bring in Bloodletters, you need to have a Mark of Khorne. If you want to bring in Pink Horrors, you need to have a Mark of Tzeentch, etc., etc. So by the looks of it, I would say for detachment, you can bring whatever you want in this list as long as it has the Chaos keyword, which by the looks of it, everything seems to. So it looks like you can take whatever you want in a single detachment that has the Chaos keyword. How they interact with each other, that would depend on their actual ruling and what the keywords say for certain marks. So, as for how they would interact with regular Chaos Undivided lists, again, that would just be keyword things. So it would be, for example, there's that one aura that gives everybody a 2d6 for the advance, you take the highest. I'm pretty sure that one would say for Mark of Nurgle. And that means anybody in the area who has the Mark of Nurgle gets to do that. Now, don't quote me on that. I'm assuming that's what it is because I read something very briefly about how that works. But yeah. As for specifically with detachments, because that's what you're saying for detachments here, the rule for detachment is that if you want to bring, say, the battalion, everything in that detachment has to have the same faction keyword, or at least one of them. So as long as they all share the Chaos faction keyword, you're fine. So that should answer your question. Next up, we have Vinny L. Shaman. Hiya, Quirk. First, thanks for the awesome faction-focused content. Your video totally reignited my interest in orcs. Awesome, dude. Thank you. Any more faction-focused videos coming out in the future? Space Wolves? Hint, hint. Is that what this is going to be today? Just everybody being like, where's the faction focuses? Okay. Second, I really appreciate the how-to-play content Mini Wargaming produced. I find it is a great tool for new players as easy access points to a complex game. That being said, How important do you find the skill of teaching within your gaming groups and specifically playing games with new players? I find it seems vital to have a player in your group who can jump in new players, who can help jump in new players. Thoughts? Thanks again for all the awesome content. Keep it coming. Well, first off, thank you for telling me that my Orc Fashion Focus actually reinvigorated you. That's cool. I appreciate that. As for the how to plays and how important it is to find who has the teaching skill, the thing is, everybody here is really, we're really good at teaching somebody how to do something. We all have different ways of explaining it, but at the end of the day, you understand it all the same way. To the point where we actually will argue with each other on how you teach somebody how something works or how something works, because we'll argue the minuscule rules. Like if you're going through the rule book on cover or shooting or whatever, there's some rules that'll say like you select a model and they'll say then the unit. It's like, well, no, hold on, you're mixing words up there and now I'm not following along. It sounds really like, well, that seems pretty basic, but it's not. So we will argue stuff like that to the letter. But when we go to tournaments or gaming stores or anything like that and watch people play and they have questions, we're very patient in the sense that we will explain something. If somebody doesn't get it, then we will, you know, it's okay if I move your models. I'm gonna kind of show you the example of what I mean here, and this is the reason why this happens. This is how this happens. If you look to this page, this is the reason why. So that's more for people who've played a little bit but aren't fully grasping some of the new rules. And then for new players, it's honestly easiest thing ever to get a new player interested in the game and get them learning it right away. Grab the quick start rules, grab like 500 points of two armies, and play against somebody new. My golden rule whenever you play somebody new is let them win. Always let them win. Even if the dice are completely against you, let them win, because when somebody wins, they feel good and they'll want to play again. And then you can beat them. But after you play the first one, somebody wins the first one, it's the same idea. This sounds really bad, but it's the same idea as when you're playing a little kid and you want them to have fun when they're playing the game. Kids aren't going to have fun when you beat them in a game. Whether it's a tabletop game, whether it's a video game, whether it's a board game, whether it's a card game, anything like that. If you beat a little kid, they aren't going to want to play anymore, and they aren't going to want to play with you anymore. So you play the first game, always let them win. If you want somebody to start spending a good chunk of money on this hobby and playing with you, let them win so that they get that good, happy feeling. Then you can beat them, and then that might trigger their competitive streak or their whatever it is. But if you let them win the first game, then you can play a second game. It usually has somebody in a good mindset of, wow, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed how I was able to, you know, to beat you. I mean, like, you're the guy who plays this game, and I just started. I'm really good at this. And you're like, yeah, you are. Let's play again. Let's do this again. And then you just, yeah. But that's the golden rule that I have for helping a new player get into it, is just let them win and then start slowly bringing in the rules as you're going. So, for example, right at the very, very beginning when you're playing, just stick to your movement, your shooting, your charging, your assault. Try and stay away from the psychic phase at the beginning, because that's a little bit, it's not complicated, but it's a little bit hard to grasp right at the beginning, because you want to kind of build up to that. So for a new player, you would want to go, okay, well, here's how you move, here's how you shoot, here's how you charge and fight. Then your second game, okay, well, just so you know, you brought this model this time, so you actually have a new phase in the game called psychic, which means you can pick from any of these and have them apply to the game. Here's how the psychic phase works. Okay, so now they now know how to use the psychic phase, so they've got this one extra thing here. Then they get to this, like, further on, and you can say, okay, well, now we're playing our third game. Just so you know in the shooting phase how you can't target somebody who's in combat? Well, in the movement phase, you have something that you can do called a fallback. And you can start adding these rules as people are playing, because you don't want to just randomly dump everything on somebody at once and just be like, okay, well, here you go. We're going to do the movement phase right now. I'm going to have these guys advance, and they're going to go this far, but I get this special rule from this, which allows me to do this. And as soon as you start doing that, you've lost the new player. He has no idea what you're doing. So build it up slowly. Start with, you know, the basics, movement, shooting, assaulting, then movement, psychic phase, shooting, assaulting, then adding special rules to all these phases that weren't there before, just as you slowly add things up. And once somebody starts referring back to this, like the second game where you beat them, where you're just like, where they say things like, wait, I could have fallen back, I could have done a fallback and shot at that unit that was like tying up my HQ the entire time. Oh, so I could have won that game. Boom, they're back into it again. They want to beat you because now there's a new rule and they're not going to fall for that thing again. So yeah, that's my thought process on getting new people into the game. I love doing that with people. So next up we have Sigarath. Hey, Quirk, I was wondering why you don't tend to use Shadow Seers in full units of troops in your Harlequin army. Also, why not use the Kiss and drop the Fusion Pistol and rely on the number of attacks to eat through armor saves with a large group of units? The reason for that is because Harlequins are expensive as a whole, so it's hard to bring a large group of units. Secondly, we don't really have a lot of Harlequins in the studio, so I kind of make do with what we have. And thirdly, Fusion Pistols are amazing. They are amazing, sir. It is a Melta and a pistol that can shoot in close combat. Please, that is so good. Oh, Harlequins are amazing. As for the Shadow Seer, I know what you're getting at because they have that whole thing where it's minus one to hit them or minus one to hurt them in close combat, or it was shooting or something like that, so. Oh, that's so good. So I understand that whole thing. The thing I don't really care for is that Shadow Seers are really expensive, and all you're really kind of doing there is bringing them as a buffer to help guys not take that much damage, so. I don't know, that's kind of my thought process on that. I'd rather have, like, the Troop Master in there and put him in a vehicle and have that go flying across the board and just do crazy amounts of damage that way, as opposed to, like, okay, well, I got the Shadow Seer here. It's my character, so he can't be targeted. I get that benefit, but, like, the points that I put into it, I could have brought two Troop Masters and filled in this detachment, so. Yeah, it's all over the place. I guess it's just personal preference. I don't really care for the Shadow Seer. I know some people out there are just like, the Shadow Seer is amazing, and I'm not going to argue with that. I don't find it that well for the way I play. I like things to be able to move really fast and get in there, and the Shadow Seers, I mean, it has the mist staff, so it's okay in combat, but it's not going to be doing as much damage as everything else can. I mean, I can smite with them, and I can do some of the other crazy psychic powers, but I don't know. I find that's not the way I like to play my Harlequins. Next up we have Gasparos. Hi, Quirk. I have three questions. Can you say or show how much models are in Mini Wargaming Studio? A lot. And it just rapidly grows every day. The thing is, I can't really show you because they're everywhere and some of them aren't built and some of them are in Lee's like office down there, which he's not in today, so it's locked. So I can't even go in there and show you guys all the extra stuff that we have that we haven't even gotten around to building. I mean, I can show you guys what we have here. Like, I've got a couple models up here and a couple models over here. I took a lot of my stuff home because I found I wasn't getting any work on it done here, so I took it home so I could work on it there. Steve did the same thing. His shelves were absolutely full of models, and he just started taking them all home. He would airbrush some of the models here when he needed to, and he would just take everything home and hand paint it. So that's kind of what we started doing, and we just bring models in once they're finished. So, like, I mean, I've got Fateweaver here that I just work on at lunchtime every now and then. He's not... I have no reason to bring him in a game or anything like that because I find he's too big of a target. He's too squishy, but I want one. I thought he was cool, so I paint him like for half an hour every day and work on something on him. But yeah, as for how many models we have in the studio, oh, I want to say like tens of thousands, fifties of thousands. Just, we have a. It's dumb how many models we have, and we can't even keep track of it. Justin has an inventory of everything. I don't even... Oh, you're making me think about all the models that we have here, and it's just ridiculous. There is a lot. I will do a open vault today, and I will answer your questions best I can when I do a walk around. I say, here is all the models we have, and I will just pan across every single shelf of models we have so that you can see that. Second part, what did you do before Mini Wargaming? I was a door-to-door vacuum salesman. I drove around with a suitcase that had a air purifier and a vacuum inside. And I tried to sell them to people. And they bought them. And I felt bad because it was a $3,500 vacuum. Whereas nowadays people go out and they go to like Best Buy or wherever and just pick up like a Dyson for a couple $100. And same idea. So they pick stuff off the ground. So yeah, that's what I did before I worked here. And question number three, can you show and tell about your biggest army list you have built? P.S. Can you scream WAW for us just to make the other mini war gamers do it? They all went for lunch, dude. I can't do a WAG, sorry. And Chris is also recording stuff in the studio in the office next to me, so I don't want to interrupt him doing that. As for the biggest army list that I have built, that would be one of the Apocalypticons. I brought every single Grey Knight I had, and at the time that was quite a few. I think I had maybe 25 Terminators, 100 just Strike Squad Marines, 3 Land Raiders, 2 Storm Ravens, and an Emperor Titan. I scratch built an Emperor Titan. It was 5 feet tall. Sat it up on a table. And I couldn't see my opponent because it was like, boom. So that was probably the biggest army list I've ever built, and that involved me scratch building an Emperor Titan. Yeah. All right, next up we have the Welsh Bloke. Hi, Quirk, how are you? Regards, the Welsh Bloke. I am good. Thank you so much for asking. I'm very chipper today. It must be because of, you know, this mark of quirk mug that I have. Product placement. Okay. Next up we have Nostaddy. Nostaddy? N-Ostaddy? Anyway. Hey Quirk, do you have much experience with airbrushing, and do you have any tips for a beginner? I've only done priming through the airbrush so far, doing the rest of my painting by hand. Yeah, a couple tips here. It's more, like, priming is what we usually use the airbrush for, because we'll use it to prime, or we'll use it to do, like, pre-shading and stuff like that. I use it a lot for OSL. Like, I'll grab, actually, hang on, where's my Leviathan? Here's an example. So, this guy right here, aside from the damage and a few of the little little damage parts up here, the decal, and then a couple of little details on the gun, he is all airbrush. So you can see, hang on, let me try and get this in here. Focus on the gun. Focus on, there we go. So you can see, like, that's all airbrushed OSL right there. Same with the little lights up here. And then just all the little glowing effect. That's all from the airbrush. And that was pretty much just, I'm going to take an airbrush, spray it in the direction that I think the glow would be coming from. And that's pretty much all it took. And it's really, really cool for that, because you can actually, you feel like you're breaking. Why do you feel like you're, maybe you're just not stuck to the base properly. Well, I'll put you down. Okay, you stay put. Yeah. Honestly, I'm not the best person to ask for tips on how to use the airbrush. Steve yells at me every time I'm using the airbrush because I don't clean it properly. If you want some good advice on how to use the airbrush, you want to watch Chris's quick tips. If you're a Vault member, you can actually see he has a how to, like, airbrush and stuff like that. I think we have a video on airbrushing 101, so check that out. That will give you a lot of tips on how to use the airbrush, how to take care of the airbrush, and how to do things more than just priming your models. So, okay. Moving on, we have Deadeye Dave 3. Dear Quirk, you are my favorite presenter of mine at Mini Wargaming, but sometimes your legendary Quirk Lux makes your videos quite simply hard to watch. At the end of every battle report in which your dice betray you, that is, all of them, you should perform some kind of destruction ritual on those dice to purge them, and also transfer Quirk's Curse of Ones to another member of the staff. That'd be a hoot. I have one actual question. My brother is starting a Harlequin's army. What's the number one thing he should know about how to win and how to have fun with them? Okay, the number one thing to remember about Harlequins is that they break every rule of the game. Well, not every rule, but they break two very, very fundamental rules. One, they can move through other models. Friendly or enemy, you can walk past them. So that movement 8, you can use that to get past the gun line, to get past a barricade, to get past wherever you need to. That is huge. When you think about it, because people will set up models that you can't get to. I'm going to set up a row of models here. Now you can't get to my HQ. Harlequins don't care. They will move right past it and shoot that HQ and make them the closest target. That is a huge one, and it's so much fun when you do that to your opponent. They've set up some sort of a, like, blockade so you can't get in there, and you're just like, oh, I see a nice little hole right there that I'm going to put my solitaire in. And, oh, I see a nice little hole over here. Let's put two or three troops in here with the troop master. There we go. That's hilarious. The other rule to remember is that they have the special ability Rising Crescendo. Two benefits from that one. One, they can fall back out of combat and still shoot and charge. That's great, because that means they can never get tied down. You can also engage in combat with something to avoid getting shot at for a turn. And then on top of that, you can use the fallback to get even further into the lines. The other thing to remember is that Rising Crescendo also allows you to advance and charge. So their movement, like their troop, your basic troop is movement 8. Adding that extra d6 means that the minimum you're going is 9 inches. The maximum you're going is 14 inches. Having a regular guy go 14 inches up the board in just a movement phase is terrifying. And the fact that they can charge after that, so good. So those are the two big rules that you want to remember when you're playing Harlequins. It is key to A, having fun with them, and B, playing them properly, because that way you never get tied down. They are probably the most finessey army in all of 40K, because, well, they can't get tied down, they can't get blocked, you can't trap them. It's just they're free to do whatever they want, and it shows on the board, and it is so much fun to play them. I would love to see what your brother builds for his army, and just to see what he thinks of them, and, you know, stuff like that. All right, next up we have Technosaurus. I like your name. Hickwork, I love the look on some of the custom super orcs Lee has been working on. Will you be using those models in any future narrative campaign? Maybe? I haven't really put any thought into that. So, maybe. By the way, one of the heads on the Flashkit sprue looks just like you. He's rocking an orky mohawk, and being a Flashkit, he's basically a Luna with two wounds. Will you ask for a custom Quark model to be made? I think it would be awesome. I wasn't actually going to, but the thing is, there's a company, I don't remember what it was, but when we were doing the Gorka Morka thing, I got these bits. Now, I ride a motorcycle. I'm a biker. And I found these orc bits that it was orcs with gigantic mohawks, and then you could also get the torso for these orcs that makes them look like knob size, but they were biker orcs. So they had the leather cut, they had the marks on the back, they were holding like grenades in the pouches and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I need these. So I've got enough to make, I think, 10 of these like orc war bikers. So I'm probably gonna build and paint them at some point in time just for my own amusement. But yeah, they're hilarious, and I would love to make them just to be like the Quark biker gang or something. So, all right. Next up we have Oxford 1990. Big Boss Quark. Hope you're all right. Love the channel. Subscribed for ages now, and I'm constantly watching Bat Reps. What do you think will happen with the elves in Age of Sigmar? Will the studio be getting a Bonesplitters army for War of the Realms? Also, will the studio get/increase any Slaanesh models for their Bat reports in either 40K or Age of Sigmar? Cheers, Tom. Okay, so to answer your first question, what will happen with the elves in Age of Sigmar? No clue. I have absolutely no idea, and I'm a little bit curious because I want to see wood elves. I want to see new wood elf models. They came out with the Sylvaness stuff. Those are awesome. I actually picked up a couple for myself just to paint them and absolutely loved them. Now I want to see wood elves because those were the army that I actually built and collected back when I played fantasy. Yes, I played fantasy a while ago, long time ago, but I was playing wood elves at the time. Next question here, will the studio be getting any Bonesplitter army for War of the Realms? We have some Bonesplitters, but we don't have enough to make a full, like, 1,500 point army. So, at the moment, right now, they're kind of just like an auxiliary or an add-on if I'm just playing Orcs and Goblins. But I think we've got an order coming in for some Bonesplitters to get painted, so that'd be pretty cool. And then, will the studio increase any Slaanesh models for Bat Reports in 40K or Age of Sigmar? We actually have quite a few Slaanesh models, but I'm not sure if you're talking about demons or, well, if you're talking about Age of Sigmar, yeah, you're talking about demons, but I don't know. I think because Slaanesh is really, really good in 40K. Like, every time they're in combat, they treat it as they charge that turn. That's so good. So they always get to fight first. Or even if your opponent charges you with his entire army, you still got to do the back and forth. That's amazing. I think we have quite a few Slaanesh models, but not enough to run a big 40K game, and definitely not enough for an Age of Sigmar game. So I'll have to talk to Matt and Dave, because I'm starting to cover the demons a little bit. Like, I've got the demon stuff crazy here. I will talk to them and see if we can get some more Slaanesh models added in. So that'll be for you, Tom. Next up we have MC1 Gamer. Nice. Question for you. How do you manage your system to keep track of all your terrain, minis, games, mat, accessories, and all of the games you play? I bet there's a storage system and one that tracks what's being used, perhaps scheduled for use on a specific recording on an X date or a particular time. Can you share the details of how it works? I'm fascinated. Are you ready for this? We have no system for that. For everything except for like the videos, we have no system. We have all the terrain in a particular area. The only thing that we know to keep track of is that Justin has an inventory of everything and a photograph of it for insurance purposes. Otherwise, just on the day that we're going to film something, grab whatever terrain you possibly can to build a table with and try and build a theme-based table on that. When it comes to minis, there's been about 6 or 7 times in the past 2 weeks that I've walked in the back and like, I'm going to play Space Marines today. Nope. Someone else is using Space Marines today. All right, well then, let me grab the orcs. Nope, Matt's using the orcs for the campaign. Okay, well, I guess I'm playing demons today because nobody touches demons. So, doing stuff like that. Well, hi.
Yeehaw! Okay, I'll get down now.
There's a Rob riding a Josh walking in here. What are you doing? Stop it.
I'm crushing your head.
No! Crush. No! Crush. Okay, stop.
You getting good questions today, QFed?
I hate you so much. Here's a question for you. You would be able to answer this one. How do you this is from MC1Gamer. How do you manage your system to keep track of all your terrain, minis, game mats, accessories, and all of your games you play? I bet there's a storage system and one that tracks what is being used, perhaps scheduled for use on a specific date, on X date, and a particular time. Can you share the details of how this works? I'm fascinated.
Okay, so literally the way it works, and I explained it to my guest yesterday.
Here, there's her face. Get in here. There we go.
So the way it works here at Mini Wargaming is that you try to get here early in the morning. Now, not necessarily on time, because we're never on time. But you try to get here slightly before everybody else, and you run in, you grab the boxes of stuff that you want to use, and you run away with them into another studio. And that's how it works. Matt and I actually did that yesterday. He came into my game, because he set up later than me, and said, yeah, of course you'd be using all the stuff I want to use. So that's how we do it here at MiniWargaming.com.
Yep. So, that's pretty much what I said. I was like, we don't have a system. It's just kind of, oh, I'm going to use this. Nope, I'm not. Someone else already grabbed it.
Yep.
All right, you can leave the door open or not. I don't care. Cool.
Leave it partway open.
All right, that way I can tell if someone's come. Or just close. All right. Number two, how do you judge what games you introduce to your content? Whoa. Oh, okay. If one person recommends something, say a Vault member or even an employee, is their criteria used to determine if it's worthy of the time invested or further if you continue to do so? Recently, we haven't really introduced much stuff that's new. Like, we've, 8th edition was kind of an obvious thing. It's just an expansion of something we already cover a lot. But things like Age of Sigmar and everything like that, again, just expansions. There was no people interested in the office to run it, so we decided to run it. It took off. Viewers enjoy it, so it did very, very well there. We did try X-Wing for a little while. That didn't really get too much traction. Same thing with Armada. A lot of people were... Again, similar to War Machine and Hordes, they were looking for the competitive style thing. It's a Fantasy Flight game, so a lot of people do want to play rather competitive with it because they go to tournaments and Fantasy Flight events. So, yeah. There really isn't much of a system to it. Like, Matt will just kind of say, hey, I found this game, I want to try it out, we're going to run it. For example, we did Giant Killer Robots. I love that game. Oh, it's such a good game. And we tried it for a little bit. We played it for one game. We did a showcase, Matt and I, and again, a lot of fun, would love to play it, but again, it doesn't have the criteria to really be a game that plays, that we do like regular videos for, because you can only play it so many ways, and then after that, it's like, okay, well, you're not really going to get anything crazy going on, whereas you look at 40K, there is like 600 different models that you can choose from, there's thousands of different combinations for armies, so you're never going to get the same game twice, even if you brought the same list against each other, just the interactions that will happen, completely different. Whereas some of the other games, it's like, okay, you can only play this so many times before... It's like playing Monopoly. You can only play it so many times before somebody gets, like, really... Like, not even a pattern to it, but somebody starts to figure out, okay, well, I'm learning that if I buy everything, the first person to buy everything usually wins, so, yeah. Last thing we have here. With all the games you do, do you ever even briefly find yourself burnt out playing a particular game for your own pleasure on your time, or even burnt out gaming in general? Yes, we all... Everybody here suffers the... Well, the burnout, basically. Usually the workaround for that is if we start to suffer burnout, we will switch up games. If we start to suffer burnout from just playing games in general, we will try and book a paint day so that we can just kind of paint or work on stuff like that. If we are just completely burnt out on the hobby as a whole, we'll take a day off. We'll let Matt know, like, we're just burnt out. We need a day. And we all do different things. Like, I think Steve goes home and just watches Netflix. Josh, I think, goes to the shooting range or something like that. I play video games. I had to think about what I do. I haven't had a day off in a while. I'll go home and play video games. So, yeah, we all have different things that we do. We do suffer the burnout quite, not often. It's especially difficult now when we have all these new things constantly coming out. It's got the excitement really going. But near the end of 7th, oh yeah, we all had burnout. We were done. We were super done. So, all right, next up we have Danny H89. Hey Quirk, what's your favorite energy drink? I've been enjoying Rockstar Bleach Blend and Monster 44, the Lewis Hamilton one. Do you get this in Canada? Love the battle reports. Keep up the good work. I have never tried either of those. Bleach Blend and Monster 44, the Lewis Hamilton. I've never tried either of those. I very much enjoy my Rockstar Citrus Punch, which is what I'm drinking out of my Mini Wargaming Quirk mug. I don't know why it's red, not blue, but it's red. I also very much enjoy the Rockstar Punch. The watermelon one is really good. I like that one too. I'll enjoy a Red Bull every now and then. Pardon me. But for the most part, it's usually Rockstars. I drank Monsters a lot for a long period of time, and I couldn't drink Rockstar. Absolutely hated the original Rockstar. And then one day, I was out. I kind of wanted an energy drink, and I went to a vending machine, and they only had regular Rockstar. I was like, fine, I'll just have one of these. I don't know what happened. It might have been just the heat that day and how thirsty I was, but I took that first sip of it, and I was like, why have I not been drinking these the whole time? So I started drinking those like crazy. Now the only Monsters I'll really drink are the Monster imports. So every other type of Monster doesn't do anything for me. Like, I'll drink it. I'm just like, no, this doesn't work. So, all right. Next up we have Brius Draxshaw. Hello, Quirk, or anybody who really, or anyone who really, okay. I was wondering if you guys are going to do another Warzone Apothis. In my opinion, it was the best series you guys have done. Thanks. We have a ton of campaigns kind of in the works right now. Like, Matt is working on the Orc campaign right now. But then he'll, like, run in randomly and be like, oh, I got another idea for, a new, like, Deathwatch campaign. We're like, okay, let's hear it. And he'll explain it. Like, that sounds amazing. Like, yeah, and then he'll run off. Then I'll run back 5 minutes later. He's like, no, forget Deathwatch. I thought of a new one for Gorka Morka. We're like, oh, sweet, let's hear that one. He's like, yeah. And he explains everything. We're like, yeah, that's awesome. He runs off. And then he runs back a little bit later. He's like, no, I have another idea. We're gonna extend this campaign. And we're like, okay, you've just thought up 3 campaign ideas. We still haven't started filming the Orc one. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, let's finish that one first. So, yeah, we have a ton of, like, ideas in the works. But for the most part, it's usually just we try to stick to a finish one campaign, then work on the next one, and Dave and Matt usually will alternate back and forth running the campaign. So, as for running another Warzone Apothis, I have no clue. Steve, Josh, myself, we don't run campaigns. That is all Matt and Dave. Don't get me wrong, I would love to run a campaign. I have a idea for a campaign. It would blow your mind. It would be amazing. But, yeah, Matt and Dave are the ones doing it. So, all right. Next up we have Remington. I already like your name, sir. Quirk, would love to see that open vault again. Don't have any questions, but how about a dare? Hug every Mini Wargaming member so kindly that you possibly say... Oh, so kindly that you possibly can and say nothing. Those faces is going to be priceless. Okay, one question so that it's not ignored. Do you want to participate in Dave's food challenges and suggest one Dave that Dave would want to try? Thanks for everything and happy Wargaming. Again, everybody's on lunch, so the only people who are here right now, like, I'm pretty sure... Yeah, the only people who are here right now is Josh and Rob, and Rob I can't hug because he's always sitting in his chair, and Josh will just kick me. So, I'll try and do that in the open vault today. As for the food challenges, no, I don't want to participate in them. I've seen some of the stuff that they eat, I don't know. The only one that made me, like, mildly interested was a Slurpee one, because that would have been a free Slurpee. Oh, and the pie eating contest. I got to participate in that one. But that was just a free pie. I enjoyed my pie. It was good. I'm not going to try and beat anybody in a pie eating contest. I'm going to enjoy my free pie. All right. Next up, we got Super Happy Time. Hola, Senor Quirk. What would happen for Mini Wargaming to provide Warmer Horde's coverage again? Also, are there any plans for Age of Sigmar narrative campaign that doesn't involve A Path to Glory? Muchas gracias. Again, I have no clue what's going to happen with War Machine and Horde's coverage. You guys have asked quite a bit about that. I'll bring it back up with Matt, but yeah, right now, with the way... The last time I ever did anything War Machine and Horde's, I just was walking into a game store and they happened to have a tournament going on, and it just bothered me because there would be 8 tables playing, so you got 16 armies there, and I think only one of them was painted, and it wasn't even fully painted, it was just painted so that he could tell the difference between his units. So, yeah, that's the War Machine community in this area, so it's very, very difficult to find somebody with a painted army. I love painting War Machine models, I think they're great. Like, I actually when we went to Adepticon, I went and I bought all the, like, con-exclusive ones, because I think they're awesome and hilarious. Like, here's the Brew Witch Doctor, just because. I think she's awesome. I wanted it, so I got it. So I went and bought all the con exclusives, but no, I don't think we're going to be able to get it going again unless we, like, get everybody in the office interested in it. And the thing is, right now, everybody's interested in their own little thing. I'm super into 8th edition right now. I want to build, like, my Zinch army. I want to make a huge Zinch army. And Josh and Colin are really into Drop Zone Commander right now. And Steve is I'm not even sure what Steve's doing. I think he's trying to expand his fantasy army a little bit. So we're all kind of really into our own thing right now, and it'd be really difficult for one of us to walk in and be like, hey guys, let's all start playing War Machine and Horus, because they're already invested in their own thing. They don't want to stop what they're working on and start working on something else. So, yeah. As for plans for a Age of Sigmar narrative campaign that doesn't involve Path to Glory, that would... Actually, we might be able to do something. I'll talk to the guys about that, because we haven't really thought of it, but... Yeah, we can definitely talk about it and see if there's something that we could possibly get going there. It'd be a little bit tricky, though, because, like... Actually, no, I'll just talk to Josh, and we'll see if we can get a narrative campaign going on there. So, we'll see what happens with that. All right, next up we have Glenn Karen. Hello. Okay, I'm assuming this is for anybody, because it doesn't have my name on it, but I was wondering why in Warhammer 40K, if you fail a charge, roll, and not enough distance, models stay where they are instead of moving, whatever distance, whatever distance you rolled. Even if you failed the charge, it seems like your guys still technically ran at the target. That's a good point, because there's a lot of games that do something very similar to that. Like, War Machine does it, where if you declare the charge and you're out, you only go the distance that you can go. Fantasy has something similar to that. But yeah, Age of Sigmar and 40K don't have anything similar to that. I think part of the reason for that is, and this could be just my thinking, is that people in that case would start declaring ridiculously long charges, like 12-inch charges, just for the sake of getting an extra distance in movement. That's the only thing I can think of. Because in every other game, if you declare a charge with the intent of failing, you can go ahead and fail, but you're gonna be in trouble. Whereas in 40K, I would be more than willing to, with a blob of 30 boys, declare a 12-inch charge just so I could get an extra 2d6 movement. So, I think that's the reasoning why they did that. It's not very fluffy at all. Like, I completely agree they should move something, but at the same time, I can see rules-wise why they wouldn't do it. Next up, we have Waki. Howdy, Quirk. When do you think we will see the time when a tank can run over a model to escape being surrounded? I'm dumbfounded by the fact that something like a Land Raider can't simply run over a Grot to get away from being surrounded and losing all the termites inside. Sadly, I've seen this happen. We need a keyword tank for all of them to run over smaller objects. There is something similar to that. Like, I know the Titans, or anything with a Titanicus keyword, usually has the ability where they can walk or fall back over other models without getting stuck. I think maybe the Land Raiders, because, yeah, it's kind of difficult for Land Raiders, eh? Because they don't have the fly keywords, they can't just jump away, and they don't have anything that allows them to run over other models. So yeah, they, especially for the amount of points you're paying for. I understand that, because I've done that to a couple people already, where I've just been like, you know what, I'm going to surround you with Orc Boys and just punch this Land Raider to death, but you ain't going to get out of combat, so you're stuck there with me for the rest of the game. But, yeah, that's a good question. Maybe some sort of rule in the future will help mitigate this, or they'll introduce something. I don't know, because then if they start introducing stuff, it's going to become like 7th edition again, where it's like, oh, I surrounded your vehicle. All right, well, then I'm just going to tank shock you out of my way. Which, don't get me wrong, tank shock was a cool rule, but nobody knew how to follow it. Like, even I was like, okay, well, I'm going to tank shock. You know what? I'm not going to tank shock because I don't know how to tank shock, so I'm just going to sit there for the rest of the game. It's happened a couple times. But, yeah, I don't know. That is very, very tricky. Yeah, I got no answer for that. I think I agree that they should be able to run over people. But I guess the kind of counter to that is that their argument will be like Land Raiders can fight in combat, so it's kind of fighting back. It's like, okay, we'll just keep fighting back until you clear out enough room to drive away, or you can get your guys out and they can help fight and clear off everything around the Land Raider, but still. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. That's tricky. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one. Next up we have Nithat. I'm sorry, dude. I'm going to butcher your name. I am going to butcher this name so bad. Nihalathak. Nihalathak. There you go. That's as close as I'm going to get. Hi, Quirk. Quick question. I played against Eldar today as Admech. First time he fielded a Wraith Knight in 8th, and it was really underperforming. Granted, tried to kill a Solicent robot with the Sun Cannon might be a bit optimistic. It still dealt more wounds with its catastrophic collapse than the 3 turns preceding it. Do you think it got a bit too hard for the Nerf hammer, or got hit a bit too hard with the Nerf hammer, or is it just shifted more towards being more of a CQC? Close Quarters Combat Lord of War. Paying so much just for an invuln sounds odd, given the base cost that being that high. Yeah, I've said this a couple times, and I will say it again. Everybody's really gung-ho on bringing their knights and their like big heavy tanks and their monsters and these crazy huge things that have more than 10 wounds or their monstrosities or whatever. They are not as good as they were in 7th. If you bring something like an Imperial Knight and expect for that Imperial Knight to by himself clear out a good chunk of the board, you will be very, very upset when a single Grey Knight with a Demon Hammer walks up and kills it in two turns. You will be upset because that should not happen at all, but it does. Same thing goes for, like right now Steve is trying to counter the meta a little bit by bringing a bunch of Last Cannons. That is great for taking down people who want to bring their big, expensive toys. But as soon as somebody brings a Horde army, like, I don't know, 180 Rimstones, it's completely nerfed. So again, you kind of run into that whole Elite gunline Horde army where Elite just gets completely bogged down by, I guess Super Heavy would be another one to it there. But like, you got these gigantic Lords of War. They are not as good as they used to be. And I think that's something that people need to figure out. Like, the fact that, yeah, I can bring an Imperial Knight and it's going to be able to do crazy amounts of damage. Like, if you have a Land Raider, I'm going to kill it in one round of shooting. But if I bring an Imperial Knight and I'm targeting a squad of 30 boys, law of averages, that 30 boys will still be there. Maybe not 30 of them, but that blob of boys will still be there after that Imperial Knight is done shooting. So, yeah, I feel really bad because like I've bought a lot of big stuff. Like I said, I bought Fate Weaver over here. I'm never going to bring him. He is like 16 wounds, so he's just a gigantic bullet magnet. And granted, yeah, that means like my brimstones aren't getting shot, but I'd rather have him shoot at my brimstones. Go ahead. They have a 4 of invuln. They're 2 points apiece. I don't care. Don't kill this guy who I have nothing to protect him with. So, yeah. I don't know. Next up we have... Yeah, dude. I'm sorry. I can't get more... I'm trying not to get more upset about that, but I feel really bad for everybody. Next up we have Wah Wing. I have a couple questions. Quirk. How did you paint your Harlequins? I didn't. I believe it was Cold Table Painting who painted them. And Matt, how did you finish painting those Tyranids? I'm struggling to get through all of mine. You'll have to ask Matt on that one. I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure all of Matt's Tyranids he got commissioned from other studios. And same thing with the Harlequins. They aren't my personal Harlequins. They're studio ones. I just use them all the time, but they were painted by a commissioned studio. Next up we have... Bat Van Veach? I'm going to pretend like I said that name right. Hey Quirk, as a fellow Harlequin enthusiast, what do you think is a reasonable model/unit addition that GW can make to our army? Ooh, that's a good question. Well, here's the thing. I don't really... It's going to sound really, really bad as like a Harlequin player. I don't think they need to add anything to it. Maybe give us some sort of, that's not fluffy at all, but some sort of a Harlequin Wraith construct would be kind of cool. But again, it's not fluffy because the Harlequins are supposed to be, yeah. I don't know. Because like, you want long range. Harlequins, the longest range they have in their entire army is 24 inches. That doesn't matter if you're firing the Void Weavers, your Death Jester, your like Shuriken Cannons, doesn't matter. 24 inches is the farthest range we have. It would be nice to have something that can shoot a little bit farther, just so that you have that like back support for them. But no, I honestly can't think of anything that the Harlequins would be, even as like a reasonable model or unit, I can't think of anything that would be reasonable for them because it's not very fluffy for them. They've kind of already got all the models they need. And again, I'm saying a Wraith construct, but that's not fluffy at all. So I have no clue. What could be interesting? No, that doesn't. I was gonna say what could be interesting is if I had like they've got the Solitaire who's supposed to embody Slaanesh, but I was gonna say if they had somebody else to like embody the other three gods, but that doesn't make any sense because they don't care about the other three gods. I don't know, guy. I have no answer for that, dude. I'm sorry. I think they're they're pretty well-rounded as a army as it is. Back when they first came out, they were a supplement. I would argue to the end of time that they are a supplement. They do not have what they need. 8th edition? No, they're an army. They are a small army that does not take very much to invest in, but they are amazing. So, next up we have a Swedish dude. Serious question, Quirk. What's your favorite ingredient in a taco? Beef. That would be my favorite ingredient. Some beef. It's like the main part of a taco, though. Better question for you, sir. Hard or soft shell? Okay, moving on. Big Mikey, Quirk. I enjoyed your video on the Brimstone Horror Army. Assuming you ordered all of them from one store, can you tell us about the employee's fellow customer's reaction when you became that guy? Yes, I can. Thanks. So, got them all built, got them all painted, got them all based, took them to the store, said, hey, who wants to play a game? And it was 5 guys staring at that army for a good half hour going, well, what if we, no. Well, can we outsmite? No, we can't outsmite it. Well, I mean, we could try, like, tons of heavy bolters might be able to. No, because he's got the 4-up invuln. Wow. What if we were to do just, like, a bunch of storm? No, because then we got to fly close and he'll just smite them out of the air. And it took 5 guys, probably half an hour, before one of them was like, okay, we're going to bring all this stuff to try and face off against it. And they won. They actually managed to win. It was close, though. Like, it went on for 6 turns. I was rolling horrendously. Oh, whoa, that made me jump. I was rolling absolutely horrendously, but at the same time, I was still, like, I think out of the 6 turns, I only got off maybe 10 smites. But those 10 smites killed, like, his flyer, a couple of his vehicles, most of his units. He was down, at the very end of it, I had 6 heralds left, and he had 1 HQ and 3 devastators left. And game ended on turn 6, but we were playing kill points, so we had way more kill points than me. So he won. But if it had gone on for one more turn, I probably could have tabled him. But yeah, it took 5 guys forever to figure it out. And now they look at me and they'll be like, I'm not that guy. I'm just the guy who brings the cancer list, is what it's called, because it doesn't go away. It just keeps growing. So anyway, that is time. That is the first hour of the Sit and Talk, guys. Hopefully you got some of your questions answered there. I still have quite a few pages to go here, but now the floor is all covered in pages because I've been tossing them as I'm reading. So, guys, to continue this, go ahead and click the link in the video description below. It's going to be another hour of me answering more of your questions. I'm not going to discriminate. I don't care if you're a Vault member or not. I'm going to answer every question in the order that they show up here, and you guys have some pretty good questions actually coming up. So, if you're not already a Vault member, go ahead and click that link anyway. You'll get access to a 7-day free trial where you get to hear me talk for another hour and go on and on and on answering your questions. I might even answer your question if you're not already a Vault member. And that way you can also get access to all the extra things that we have here, like battle reports, behind the scenes, open vaults, which I'm promising I'm going to do today. And then you also get all the extra stuff like Chris's painted tutorials and stuff like that. So, guys, thank you so much for watching. Thank you for being awesome. Awesome. Thank you for being awesome. One last reminder, next week is going to be Dave. So if you have any questions for Dave, leave a question for him in the comment section below. Just put Dave and then comment so he knows it's for him. And I will see you guys in the vault. Thanks so much for watching. Happy wargaming. I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. Catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause.